Hello, everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today we are going to be turning Josephine Baker into a D&D character. Now, Josephine Baker, there's a lot of history about her, so I will try and keep it short and sweet. Josephine Baker was born on the 3rd of June, 1906, in St. Louis, Missouri. She grew up in a neighborhood of St. Louis, which was a racially mixed low-income neighborhood near Union Station. There were a lot of rooming houses, brothels, apartments without indoor plumbing, and she grew up in poverty. At 8 years old, Josephine began working as a live-in domestic for white families in St. Louis. So, essentially a maid. One woman abused her, burning her hands when Josephine put too much soap in the laundry. And when she was 11, she witnessed racial violence in East St. Louis, Illinois, where white people were burning the homes of black families. And this was at age 11. When she was 12, she dropped out of school, and at 13, she was working as a waitress. During this time, she lived as a street child in the slums of St. Louis. A street child is just what it sounds like, a child who is without a home. So she would sleep in cardboard shelters, scavenge for food in garbage cans, and she would make a living with street corner dancing, or busking. While she was working as a waitress, she met Willie Wells, whom she subsequently married, when she was still 13. The marriage lasted less than a year, because of course it did, she was 13. And following her divorce from him, she found work with a street performance group called the Jones Family Band. When she was 15, she got married for a second time to William Howard Baker. But she left him when her vaudeville troupe was booked into a New York City venue, and she divorced him 4 years later. But she still continued to use his last name, Baker, professionally through the rest of her life. Josephine Baker. So Josephine Baker secured a role in the chorus line of a touring production of the groundbreaking and hugely successful Broadway revue, Shuffle Along. And this was the first all-black Broadway show. This was one of the touring companies, because she was still underage at the time to perform on Broadway. But when she became of age, she was transferred to the Broadway production. And then the next revue that Josephine went into was the Chocolate Dandies. And she was again cast in the chorus line. But what happened after that is that Josephine Baker sailed to Paris in 1925 and opened in La Revue Nègre at Théâtre des Champs-Élysées. And Baker was 19 at the time. And Baker says that this was her first big break. She didn't get her first break on Broadway. She was just in the chorus and Shuffle Along and Chocolate Dandies. But she said, I became famous first in France in the 20s. And in Paris, she became an instant success for her erotic dancing, for appearing practically nude on stage. And after a successful tour of Europe with this traveling company, she broke her contract and returned to France. Something that really elevated her to stardom was she performed the Danse Sauvage wearing a costume consisting of a skirt made of a string of artificial bananas and a beaded necklace. This became an iconic image and a symbol both of the Jazz Age and the Roaring Twenties. Like, yeah, Josephine Baker had a big hand in that style. In later shows in Paris, she was often accompanied on stage by her pet cheetah, who was adorned with a diamond collar. After a while, Baker was the most successful American entertainer working in France, and Ernest Hemingway called her the most sensational woman anyone ever saw. Picasso drew paintings depicting her alluring beauty. In 1929, Baker became the first African-American star to visit Yugoslavia, and in 1931, Baker released her most successful song, J'ai deux amours, I Have Two Loves, and in the song, she says, I have two loves, my country and Paris. And Paris loves her. Paris loves her so much. In fact, while she was in Paris, she became the first black woman to star in a major motion picture, the 1927 silent film, Siren of the Tropics. They just really loved her. And despite this incredible popularity in France, Baker never really attained the same reputation in America. She returned to America in a 1936 revival of Ziegfeld Follies on Broadway, which she starred in, and it wasn't very successful, and Time magazine referred to her as a Negro wench whose dancing and singing might be topped anywhere outside of Paris. Other critics said her voice was too thin and dwarf-like, and she returned to Europe heartbroken. And this contributed largely to Baker becoming a legal citizen of France and giving up her American citizenship. She's thinking, France loves me. France loves me. I am adored. People appreciate my incredible talents. And all America has ever done for me was be racist. So, absolutely not. In 1937, Baker married the French industrialist Jean Lion, which allowed her to become a French citizen. In World War II, when France declared war on Germany, the French military intelligence agency was like, hey, Josephine Baker, do you want to be a spy? And she's like, yeah, I want to be a spy. Are you kidding? So she would socialize with the Germans at embassies, ministries, nightclubs, charming them all while secretly gathering information. She would rub shoulders with high-ranking Japanese officials, Italian bureaucrats, and she would report what she heard. When the Germans invaded France, Baker went to her home in the south of France, and she housed people who were eager to help the Free French, this French resistance effort led by Charles de Gaulle, and she supplied them with visas. So she's able to move around Europe. She would visit neutral nations such as Portugal, as well as some in South America. And she would carry information for England about airfields, harbors, German troop concentrations, and notes would be written in invisible ink on her sheet music. After the war, Baker was awarded the Resistance Medal by the French Committee of National Liberation, the Croix de Guerre by the French military, and was named a Chevalier of the Légion d'Honneur by General Charles de Gaulle. In 1949, she had been recognized by her wartime heroism, so she started performing with a new gravitas. She was unafraid to take on serious music or subject matter, and the engagement was a rousing success and re-established Baker as one of Paris's preeminent entertainers. And in fact, in 1951, Baker was invited back to the US for a nightclub engagement in Miami. The thing was, in this nightclub, it was a segregated audience. And Josephine Baker's like, oh, absolutely not. I am not performing for a segregated audience. And this nightclub is like, we will give you so much money to do that, though. We'll give you $10,000 if you perform for these segregated people. And she says, I'm not doing that. So the club eventually met her demands, desegregated, and she sold out the club, and then followed that up with a national tour. And this tour got so many rave reviews, enthusiastic audiences, it climaxed by a parade in Harlem in honor of her new title, NAACP's Woman of the Year. Then there was an incident at the Stork Club in October 1951. Josephine Baker criticized the Stork Club's unwritten policy of discouraging black patrons. And there was a columnist, an old ally of hers, who essentially immediately betrayed her and accused her of being a communist. Which, during this time, obviously, that was a very serious charge. So, her being called a communist led to the termination of Baker's work visa, which forced her to cancel all of her remaining engagements in the US and return to France. And it was almost a decade before US officials even allowed her back into the country. Now, after these charges of racism against the Stork Club in Manhattan, actress Grace Kelly, who was at the club at the time, came over to Baker, took her by the arm, and stormed out with her entire party, vowing never to return. And the two women became close friends after the incident. Even near the end of Baker's career, when Baker was near bankruptcy, Grace Kelly, by then the princess consort, offered her a villa and financial assistance. Later in the 70s, Baker was facing financial troubles. She couldn't get booked anywhere. She commented, nobody wants me, they've forgotten me. But family members encouraged her to keep performing. They're like, you're Josephine Baker, you're incredible, you can't stop. So in 1973, she performed at Carnegie Hall to a standing ovation. And on the 8th of April 1975, Josephine Baker starred in a retrospective review at the Bobino in Paris, Josephine à Bobino, 1975, which celebrated her 50 years in show business. This review, in part financed by the Prince of Monaco, her good friend Grace Kelly, now the Princess of Monaco, and Jackie Kennedy. And it opened to rave reviews. There was so much demand for seating that fold-out chairs had to be added to accommodate spectators. 4 days after this, Baker was found lying peacefully in her bed, surrounded by newspapers with glowing reviews of her performance. She was in a coma after suffering a cerebral hemorrhage. She was taken to the hospital where she died, aged 68, on the 12th of April, 1975. Her funeral attracted more than 20,000 mourners, and she's the only American-born woman to receive full French military honors at her funeral. She had a family service in Monte Carlo, and then she was interred at Monaco's Cimetière de Monaco. So that is Josephine Baker. I do just want to mention her civil rights activism because that was very important. She worked with the NAACP. As I mentioned earlier, she was named Woman of the Year by NAACP. And she was such a crusader for civil rights that NAACP had Sunday, the 20th of May, 1951, declared Josephine Baker Day. In 1963, she spoke at the March on Washington at the side of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., and she was the only official female speaker. While she wore her Free French uniform emblazoned with her medal of the Légion d'honneur, she introduced the Negro Women for Civil Rights. A lot of people thought her time overseas in Europe made her a woman of France, who was disconnected from the civil rights issues going on in America, but in her speech, one of the things Baker said was, "I have walked into the palaces of kings and queens and into the houses of presidents and much more, but I could not walk into a hotel in America and get a cup of coffee, and that made me mad. And when I get mad, you know that I open my big mouth and then look out, because when Josephine opens her mouth, they hear it all over the world." So that is Josephine Baker, an incredible woman. But now that we know about her background, let's pick a background. Let's get into turning her into a D&D character. That's the whole point of this podcast. Hopefully you learned some new things, but now let's get fantastical, yeah? So I'm thinking maybe spy, because she was a spy, but that might be too far into her life to consider it a background. There is entertainer. Maybe outlander? I'm probably going to go with entertainer, but the problem I have with that is that's pretty much what I do for every person who is an entertainer. I think I can be a little more creative. So let's see what fits better. You know what? I think I am going to go for spy. That one's fun. So she's going to gain skill proficiencies in deception and stealth, as well as tool proficiencies in a disguise kit and a forgery kit. So very fun. Disguise kit and forgery kit, very useful for a spy. Why I was hesitant on spy is because the only skill proficiency that I think makes sense is deception. The tool proficiencies don't make too much sense for her, and stealth doesn't make too much sense for her because she was able to do what she did because of recognition. But she would pin messages to the inside of her underwear, and I think stealth and a bit of disguise could be helpful for that. So yes, we are going with spy. Now that we have background, let's pick her race. So I'm thinking, what race would be a good dancer? And my first thought is like elf, you know, because they're supposedly very graceful. But I don't want to go with elf. Let's go with something else. I think I'm going to do half elf because she was an American who went to France and renounced her U.S. citizenship to become a French citizen. And I feel like that kind of dichotomy of nationality is fitting of a half elf, right? Right. So as a half-elf, she's going to increase her charisma by 2, and 2 other ability scores of her choice by 1. She has dark vision. Fae ancestry means she has advantage on saving throws against being charmed, and magic can't put her to sleep. With skill versatility, she's going to gain proficiency in 2 skills of her choice. Any 2 skills! So let's take a look and see what ones we think are fitting for her. I'm definitely going to do performance. And let's say persuasion as well. And she's going to be able to speak, read, and write common, elvish, and 1 language of her choice. How about Sylvan. Sure. Common, Elvish, and Sylvan. Love it. So now that we have her background spy and her race half-elf, we can roll for stats. That's when you take a d6, a six-sided die, roll it four times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining three to get one of her six ability scores. So we're going to do that six times. Okay, so I rolled for her, and she didn't do great. She also didn't do badly, though. Fairly middle of the road. She got 13, 14, 13, 11, 13, 11. So, 1 14, 3 13s, and 2 11s. Now let's fit those where we think they should go. I think our highest has gotta be charisma, right? So I'm gonna pop that 14 in there. She gets a +2 from being a half elf, so that is bumped up to a 16, which is a +3 modifier. Next, she has 3 13s. I think wisdom is important, so let's do 13 in wisdom, 13 in constitution, and 13 in dexterity, because she was probably very dexterous because she was a dancer. And I think we have 2 +1s from her being a half elf, so I think we're going to do 14 dexterity and 14 wisdom. So those are both +2 modifiers, with the 13 constitution being a +1 modifier. Next, we have 2 11s. I'm going to put those into intelligence and strength. Dancing does require you be fairly strong, so if I had rolled better, I would have liked her strength to be higher, as well as intelligence, but you gotta work with what you're given, or what you roll for the thing. You get it. So her starting stats are 11 strength, 14 dexterity, 12 constitution, 11 intelligence, 14 wisdom, and 16 charisma. That's not terrible. I don't think that's bad at all. So now we can pick a class for her. I'm going to start with Ranger. So I just think she pretty much survived on her own for a while. And I think the Ranger's abilities of being able to fend for yourself and forage and scavenge would be really helpful for someone who's a street child. I think that'll be very useful. So as a first level ranger, she's going to gain proficiency in light armor, medium armor, and shields, in simple weapons and martial weapons, and she's going to have 3 skill proficiencies of her choice from animal handling, athletics, insight, investigation, nature, perception, stealth, and survival. So I think from what I said earlier, survival would make sense. So let's give her proficiency in that. Let's also give her proficiency in animal handling, because if you will remember, she did have a pet cheetah who wore a diamond collar. And then one more from athletics, insight, investigation, nature, and perception. What makes sense for her? I'm gonna say athletics, because I know she has a +0 to strength, but there's no way she wasn't athletic. She was a dancer. Beautiful. Okay, so she is starting with a boatload of skill proficiencies. I love that for her. And she's also going to gain proficiency in strength and dexterity saving throws. Okay. So as a first level ranger, she is going to gain a favored enemy. So she can choose a type of favored enemy: beasts, humanoids, fae, monstrosities, or undead. And I think we are going to choose humanoids because a lot of Americans were complete racist pricks to her. So that makes sense to me. She's going to gain +2 to damage rolls against these creatures. And she's going to have advantage on survival checks to track them, as well as on intelligence checks to recall information about them. Additionally, she's just going to learn another language of her choice, one typically spoken by her favorite enemy. So since most humans in D&D just speak common, I'm just going to give her whatever other language. So what's a human looking race? Halfling. There you go. So now she has 4 languages. Very good. She's also going to get Natural Explorer, which gives her a bevy of benefits, like ignoring difficult terrain. She'll have advantage on initiative rolls, and on her first turn in combat, she's going to have advantage on attack rolls against enemies who have not yet taken their turn. That's very fun. Get the drop on people nice and easy. There are also a bunch of benefits for when she's traveling for an hour or more. But let's go to second level in Ranger, where she's going to gain a fighting style, a particular style of fighting. So if Josephine Baker were a fighter, what do we think she would do? I see her leaning more towards support, so we're going to do Druidic Warrior. So she's going to learn two cantrips of her choice from the Druid spell list. So there are a lot here that could be helpful, like mending, create bonfire, mold earth, shape water, a lot of useful things there. She can pick two of those, and Wisdom is going to be her spellcasting ability for those. Now, in addition to a fighting style, where she learned a couple cantrips, she is going to gain spellcasting! So she's magic now! I love that for her! Wisdom is going to be her spellcasting ability for all of her ranger spells. So her spell save DC, or what a target needs to equal or beat in order to resist the effects of her spells, is 8, plus her proficiency bonus, plus her wisdom modifier. Proficiency bonus at second level is still plus 2, so it's going to be 8 plus 2 plus 2, so 12. Not great, but, you know, we can work with it. And her spell attack modifier for her ranger spells is just proficiency plus wisdom, or plus 4. Again, not great, but I don't think she's going to be doing too much attacking, so that's fine. So we are going to go third level in Ranger, where she's going to gain the ability Primeval Awareness. So now, she has an innate ability to communicate with beasts, and they see her as a kindred spirit, and that must be helpful when you have a pet cheetah. Also at third level, she is going to gain a ranger archetype, or a ranger subclass, and we are going to go with Fae Wanderer. So with Fae Wanderer, she's going to gain Dreadful Strikes. So once per turn when she hits a creature with a weapon, she can just deal an additional 1d4 psychic damage to the target. She's also going to get Fae Wanderer Magic, so she's going to learn an additional spell when she reaches certain levels, and the spell she learns at third level is Charm Person. And I feel like that could be very fitting for when she's trying to gather information during World War II, being able to just cast a spell and charm someone. She's also going to get Otherworldly Glamour, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to take this subclass. Because remember, Picasso drew paintings depicting her alluring beauty. So now whenever Josephine makes a charisma check, she gains a bonus to the check equal to her wisdom modifier. So she has a plus 2 to wisdom, so all of her charisma skills are going to gain a plus 2. Her deception, intimidation, performance, and persuasion all just gain a plus 2. In addition, she's going to gain proficiency in one of the following skills of her choice: deception, performance, or persuasion. Now, she already has proficiency in all three of those, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give her proficiency in another skill, because as a half-elf, she was able to pick just any two skill proficiencies, so if I were someone who planned ahead, I am not, I would have given her a different skill proficiency instead of performance and persuasion, so that she could get the skill proficiency now with Otherworldly Glamour. But I didn't do that, so I'm just going to give her another skill proficiency. So let's make it religion. And the reason I'm doing religion is because by the end of her life, she was very Catholic, so I want that reflected at least somewhat. So boom, proficiency in religion. Okay, awesome. Fourth level, I think we are going to... What should we do for fourth level? What do we think? I think I'm going to go fourth level in Ranger. That's going to give her an ability score improvement. So we can increase one ability score of her choice by 2, or 2 ability scores of her choice by 1. And I know she's using Wisdom for now, but I actually think we are going to bump Charisma from a 16 to an 18, making that a plus 4 modifier. So for fifth level, I think we are going to multi-class into Sorcerer. So a 4th level ranger, a 1st level sorcerer. As a 1st level sorcerer, she's also going to have spellcasting, but this time it is going to use her charisma modifier. So the spell save DC is 8 plus proficiency bonus plus charisma modifier. Proficiency bonus at 5th level goes up to plus 3, so 8 plus 3 plus 4 is a spell save DC of 15. That is pretty good at 5th level. And her spell attack modifier is going to be plus 7. Also, pretty dang good. So as a first level sorcerer, she is going to get her sorcerer subclass immediately, called a Sorceress Origin, and we are going to go with Wild Magic. So with this, she gains the ability Tides of Chaos. What this means is she can just give herself advantage on one attack roll, ability check, or saving throw once per long rest. That's pretty cool. But the big class ability is called Wild Magic Surge. So immediately after Josephine casts a sorcerer spell of first level or higher, she has to roll a d20. And if she rolls a 1, a Wild Magic Surge happens, which is a random magical effect. And they range from casting fireball centered on yourself, turning into a plant, summoning other creatures, growing a few inches, shrinking a few inches, just all of this wild stuff. The reason I pick this is because she was kind of wild. She was kind of chaotic. I'm going back to her pet cheetah again. It would be out on stage with her while she was performing, and it would not always stay on stage. Sometimes it would just go down into the orchestra and terrorize the musicians. That's fairly wild. Her big performance that kind of led to her fame was called the Danse Sauvage, the Wild Dance. And I don't know, I just like this for her. I think it's fun. Sixth level, we are going to multi-class again. We're gonna leave Sorcerer behind. She doesn't need it. She's now going into Bard. And when she multi-classes into Bard, she's going to gain proficiency in one skill of her choice and one musical instrument of her choice. So let's give her another skill proficiency. Let's do acrobatics this time. She has so many proficiencies. I love that for her. And musical instrument, let me think. I don't remember reading she could play any instruments, but I'm gonna go with guitar. Sure, why not? She can play guitar now. Hell yeah. So as a first level bard, she's going to gain more spellcasting, because bards are also spellcasters, and that is still going to use charisma. So both her sorcerer spells and her bard spells will use charisma. Her ranger spells and the cantrips she got from the fighting style druidic warrior are going to use wisdom. But all the rest of them, charisma. Which I love because she has very good charisma. Because of course she does, it's Josephine Baker. Incredible performer. Also as a first level bard, she's going to gain bardic inspiration. So as a bonus action on her turn, she can choose one creature other than herself within 60 feet of her who can hear her and give them one bardic inspiration die. And that die at the moment is a d6. And that creature that she's inspired can roll the die and add the number rolled to an ability check, attack roll, or saving throw it makes. She's going to have an amount of bardic inspiration uses equal to her charisma modifier, which is 4 uses of bardic inspiration. But that's so cool. You could be like in pitched combat and she can just do an incredible dance or a beautiful song and just inspire you to fight better. I love that for her. 7th level, 2nd in bard, she's going to get Jack of All Trades, which means she can add half her proficiency bonus rounded down to any ability check she makes that doesn't already include her proficiency bonus. So even in something like history, where she has a +0, because she has +0 to intelligence, she now has a +1. Everything she's not proficient in is going to get a +1. It's just such a cool ability. She's just going to be good at everything. She's also going to gain Song of Rest. So she can use soothing music or oration to help revitalize her wounded allies during a short rest. If she or any friendly creatures who can hear her performance regain hit points at the end of the short rest, each of those creatures regains an extra 1d6 hit points. Now that's not a lot of healing, but it is free healing. And I really love free healing. You gotta take that where you can get it. 8th level, 3rd in Bard, she is going to gain her Bard College, or her Bard subclass. And I am going to go with College of Swords. Because I said she would be more in a defensive or supportive role as a character, but College of Swords, I think, is the closest to dancing. So College of Swords at 3rd level, she gains a fighting style. She can choose dueling, so while she's wielding a melee weapon in one hand and no other weapons, she gains a +2 bonus to damage rolls with that weapon, or two-weapon fighting. So when she engages in two-weapon fighting, attacking with her main hand and then using a bonus action to attack with her offhand, she can add her ability modifier to the damage of the second attack. So I think we are going to go with two weapon fighting, because just the image of Josephine Baker dancing with two swords is very elegant to me. It's very cool. She is also going to gain Blade Flourish, which are kind of like dance-type maneuvers she can take. So whenever she takes the attack action on her turn, her walking speed is going to increase by 10 feet until the end of that turn, and if a weapon attack that she makes as part of that action hits a creature, she can use one of the following Blade Flourish options of her choice. And she can only use one Blade Flourish option on her turn. Defensive Flourish, she can expend one use of her Bardic Inspiration to cause the weapon to deal extra damage to the target she hits. The damage is going to equal the number she rolls on the Bardic Inspiration die, and she also adds that number rolled to her armor class until the end of her next turn, so she can deal more damage and kind of fortify herself as well. With Slashing Flourish, she can expend one use of the Bardic Inspiration die to cause the weapon to deal extra damage to the target she hits and to any other creature of her choice that she can see within 5 feet of her. And that damage that those creatures take is going to be equal to the number she rolled on the Bardic Inspiration die. The last flourish is called Mobile Flourish, where she can expend one use of her Bardic Inspiration to cause the weapon to deal extra damage to the target she hits, equal to the number rolled on her Bardic Inspiration die. And then she can also push the target up to 5 feet away from her, plus a number of feet equal to the number she rolled on the die. Then she can immediately use her reaction to move up to her walking speed to an unoccupied space within 5 feet of the target. So that's really cool. She can slash someone, do extra damage, push them, and then chase after them with a grand leap. Those are really fun abilities that she can do. And it gives her other options for her Bardic Inspiration. She doesn't just have to use them to inspire her allies. She can also use that for herself now. She can inspire herself. I love that for her. Also, as a third level bard, she is going to gain Expertise. So she is going to take her proficiency bonus in a skill and double it. She can do that for two skills. So we gotta do performance and, let's see, performance and what else? I'm gonna say acrobatics. Boom. So now her proficiency bonus is doubled for both of those. So good, Josephine. Fourth level in Bard, ninth overall, she's going to gain another ability score improvement. I say we use that to maximize charisma. So take that 18, bump it up to a 20, which is a +5 modifier. She's so charismatic. It's incredible. Fifth level in Bard, 10th overall, she gains a Font of Inspiration. So before, with her Bardic Inspiration ability, she would regain all expended uses when she finished a full 8-hour rest. Well, now with Font of Inspiration, it can be a short rest as well. So just a quick 1-hour rest, she can gain all 5 uses of her Bardic Inspiration back. So also at 5th level, her Bardic Inspiration die is going to change from a d6 to a d8. 6th level in Bard, 11th overall, she's going to gain Counter Charm. So as an action, she can start a performance that lasts until the end of her next turn, and during that time, Josephine and any friendly creatures within 30 feet of her are going to have advantage on saving throws against being frightened or charmed. Very useful, because being frightened and charmed are really shitty. So also at 6th level, from the College of Swords, she gains extra attack. So now she can attack twice when she takes the attack action on her turn. So, very cool, she can attack twice with her main hand, and then use a bonus action to attack with the sword in her offhand as well. So essentially 3 attacks in one turn. Very cool, very quick flashes of the blade. Beautiful dancer, beautiful. 7th level in Bard, 12th overall, she's just going to gain access to 4th level Bard spells. So her Bardic magic's very powerful now. 8th level in Bard, 13th overall, that is another ability score improvement. And I think we are actually going to bump up Dexterity, because now she's kind of more a frontline fighter at this point, and increasing Dexterity will not only allow her to hit more often with her two swords, but also increase her armor class, making her harder to hit. Beautiful. Okay. Sick. I love this. 9th level in Bard, 14th overall, the amount that she heals during her Song of Rest increases to 1d8. 10th level in Bard, 15th overall, she is going to gain Expertise again, and can just pick another 2 skills to double the proficiency bonus in. And I'm gonna go with Athletics and Persuasion. right? I think that makes more sense than deception, stealth, survival, or animal handling. I think so. Okay. Beautiful, also at 10th level, she is going to gain magical secrets. So now she can just learn two spells from any class that are of a level that she can cast in this class. So 5th level or lower, and she can just learn two spells from any class. Like, counter spells, incredible. She can learn Revivify and bring people back to life. She can learn Thunderous Smite. So when she hits someone with her sword, she can just let out a blast of thunder. That's so cool. She's got lots of options there. Also at 10th level, her Bardic Inspiration die is going to change from a D8 to a D10. It's getting very good now. 11th level in Bard, that is 16th overall. She is going to gain access to 6th level Bard spells. 12th level in Bard, 17th overall. That's another ability score improvement. Well, I think we are going to give her a feat. So a feat is like a special ability that a character can have. So let's see what feats are fitting for her. So I think I'm going to give her the mobile feat, which makes her exceptionally speedy and agile. And I think agility makes a lot of sense for Josephine Baker. So her walking speed is going to increase by 10 feet. When she uses the dash action, difficult terrain doesn't cost her extra movement on that turn. That doesn't really help her much, because as a ranger, she already ignored difficult terrain. And now, when she makes a melee attack against a creature, she doesn't provoke opportunity attacks from that creature for the rest of the turn, whether she hits or not. So I really love this kind of synergy with the College of Swords Bard, because she has 3 attacks, remember? She can attack one person, dance away from them, attack someone else, dance away from them, and then use her bonus action to attack with her offhand, and just dance away from them. She can just twirl through enemies, slashing them up, and none of them can lay a hand on Josephine Baker. Very cool. Now we are going to go 13th level in Bard, 18th overall. Her Song of Rest is improved even further, so now she can heal an additional 1d10 hit points per short rest. Very cool. 14th level in Bard, 19th overall, she's going to gain magical secrets again. So now she can pick another 2 spells from any class of 7th level or lower. A lot more options there. Not going to go through all the spells because there are so many of them, and I don't want to. But she's also going to gain the last ability from College of Swords called Master's Flourish. So now whenever she uses one of her 3 Blade Flourish options, instead of expending one of her Bardic Inspiration die, she can roll a d6 instead. So that is not as good as one of her Bardic Inspiration die, because at this point, her Bardic Inspiration die is a d10. But if she's out of Bardic Inspiration die, she can roll a d6 and still use her flourishes, which I think is very cool. 15th level in Bard, 20th overall, the final level. Oh, Josephine, you're so swift and so strong. I love it. Her Bardic Inspiration is going to be fully maxed out to be a D12. Very good. Very good. A D12 of Bardic Inspiration. She has 5 uses of them. Excellent. Excellent. Oh, awesome. So that is Josephine Baker. Josephine Baker, nicknamed the Black Venus. Background, spy, race, half-elf. She is a level 4 Fey Wanderer Ranger, a level 1 Wild Magic Sorcerer, and a level 15 College of Swords Bard. Her ending stats are 11 Strength, 16 Dexterity, 12 Constitution, 11 Intelligence, 14 Wisdom, and 20 Charisma. For skills, she has plus 15 to Acrobatics, plus 8 to Animal Handling, plus 12 to Athletics, plus 13 to Deception, plus 19 to Performance, and plus 19 to Persuasion, plus 6 to Religion, plus 9 to Stealth, and plus 8 to Survival. And the reason why Performance and Persuasion are so incredibly high is because of her Fey Wanderer subclass, she gets to add her Wisdom modifier to her Charisma skills. So Deception, Intimidation, Performance, and Persuasion all gain a plus 2. I will point out, her Intimidation, which she is not proficient in, is still a plus 10. because she has plus 5 charisma, plus 2 wisdom, and jack of all trades adds a plus 3 to that, because a proficiency bonus is now 6, halved to 3 and added to everything she's not proficient in. Incredible! Plus 10 to a skill she's not proficient in! That's so cool! Saving throws, she has plus 6 to strength saving throws and plus 9 to dexterity saving throws. Very useful there. Languages, she has common, elvish, sylvan, and halfling. Tool proficiencies, she's proficient in a disguise kit, forgery kit, and the guitar, because why not? And for feats, she has mobile, to kind of add to that image I have of her, of just being this very agile, acrobatic fighter. So my image of Josephine Baker, and again, this is fantasized, I don't think she ever went around killing people with two swords, but you never know. History is subject to a lot of variables, you know? So, you know, it could have happened. It didn't. But my scenario for Josephine Baker, okay? She is at a German embassy, just schmoozing with these fascists. And she is taking down notes and hiding them on her person. And even with her plus 9 stealth, someone sees her. And they go over to her and they say, "Hey, Josephine Baker, the Black Venus, whatever are you doing?" And she says, "I really wish you hadn't seen that." Before pulling out 2 swords, all of the Nazis in the place turn towards her, appalled that the Josephine Baker has drawn weapons upon them. So they pull out their guns, they're trying to get her, and she is just dancing through them effortlessly, slashing one before moving on to another, using her fae magics to charm and beguile them, her wild magic going off every so often, just lighting things on fire, shooting lightning down from the sky. She turns one of them into a cheetah and immediately befriends it with her primeval awareness, and the cheetah just starts attacking the Nazis as well, and Josephine just makes her way through, killing Nazis with her 2 swords whip thin, flashing around her in an absolute maelstrom of chaotic and beautiful, elegant destruction. So there you have it. That's my image of Josephine Baker, just using 2 swords to kill Nazis. That ain't bad. That's a good thing. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. You can follow me on Twitter at FantasizeMePod and email in character suggestions to FantasizeMePod@gmail.com. I love to hear from you. Who do you want me to turn into a D&D character? I can probably do it and make it weird. I've also been trying to get into streaming a little bit more, so you can follow me on twitch.tv/FantasizeMePod. And check out my streams there. I'm hoping to do it more consistently and start streaming Fallout 4 soon, because I've never played it before and thought it would be fun to make an ass of myself. Over on Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/fantasizeme, you can check out my commissions there. I can make you custom stat blocks for D&D. I can create monsters for you or PCs for you, villains, heroes, whatever you want. And then the proceeds from those commissions will go to the Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund. So check that out, ko-fi.com/fantasizeme, my commission's there, to get something awesome while supporting Ukraine. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Be sure to rate 5 stars if you wanna, and tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your friends' enemies. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll do this again next week. Bye!